This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Philip C and this is The Breakfast Grill. When one thinks of gold as an investment asset, heirlooms, pawn shops, vaults or mattresses come to mind. The oldest commodity in the world, Hello Gold's mission since its inception has been to democratize and broaden its appeal. But has it been successful in welcoming a next generation of investors? Or has the journey demonstrated that it's time to say goodbye to this much vaunted asset as all that glitters isn't gold? So we have with us on the line today, we have Robin Lee, the CEO of Hello Gold. Welcome to The Breakfast Grill. Look, I've gone to your web, easy to understand, mobile, investment limit as low as RM1 ringgit per day, huge social media campaigns targeting the youth. How would you rate your mission so far in democratizing gold investment?
Well, you know, we've been in business for about 4 years now, and you can really split it up into two portions. Just to give you a sense, in the last 2 years, the transaction value of gold that's gone through our platform has gone up by 9 times compared to the first 2 years. So, you know, certainly we've seen a significant growth in traction, I think partly because with the onset of mobile wallets in the last 2 years, and obviously with the pandemic last year, people have gone online more and more, and we've been able to see customers come into the platform and use our platform along with many others in the last 2 years. So definitely from a customer adoption perspective, we've been pretty pleased so far.
How do you measure success? Because I think about 2 years ago, you were targeting had about 200,000 over users, 70,000, yeah. And now you're up to about 200,000. How has that growth been like?
Well, I think all things being equal, and I use that because of the COVID-19 last year, I think we have been pretty successful. Certainly, we had much bigger, loftier targets, but that was predicated on us expanding faster, not just in Malaysia, but outside the region. And that expansion into foreign markets has kind of grinded to a halt as a result of COVID-19.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because I think there were plans to do Indonesia. There were plans to go to Africa with a Dubai office. And when one goes to your website, it is still Malaysia and Thailand, right? When do you plan to kickstart that or resume that international expansion?
We continue to have conversations with partners. The partnership pipeline that we had live, say, pre-March 2020 was pretty exciting. And we were geared up to basically go big, not just in ASEAN, but across into the Middle East and North Africa. However, because of the crisis, a number of partners certainly had change of priorities, as you can imagine. So some of these died, some of these slowed down. And the ones that have slowed down, you know, we have slowly revitalized, and some that died are now coming back to us. But inevitably, it has been much, much slower for us to hit the ground running in markets outside Malaysia. So, you know, we're still in discussions with a few partners now. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll see a launch in the Middle East.
Give us a sense. So Middle East by end of this year, ASEAN, Vietnam, Indonesia, likely in 22?
Indonesia, we are having conversations, but nothing is concrete yet. We had hoped to be in there by now, but unfortunately we're not. It's been a challenge. So we'll have to wait and see. But we continue to have conversations with potential partners in the market.
But one can argue that it should be, as a result of COVID, people would want to do this kind of investments and pursue this work and accelerate it, as opposed to despite of COVID, no?
Well, from a partnership perspective, yes. I think, which is why we continue to have quite a lot of conversations with partners. But getting the deal across the line takes a long time. So I think partners aspire to work with us or hope to work with us, but just pushing it across the line is much more challenging because they have different priorities to us, you know?
And would somewhere like China or India, are those markets in your horizon?
Certainly they are, but I think they're much further out beyond the next 2 years. I think we want to hit, we want to consolidate, well, expand and consolidate in the region first before we hit India and China. And we have sporadic conversation with partners there, but really I don't think we want to go there just yet.
And let's just bring it closer to home, you know, back in Malaysia and Thailand and focusing on Malaysia. I would have expected that the number of users and customers during the pandemic would have gone up substantially. Is that a right assumption?
In terms of the numbers that we had, I think it has gone up quite substantially, not as much as we would like. I think the issue is this, is that, you know, for the target market that we are trying to serve, the mass market in Malaysia, you know, they are dealt with two things. But on the one hand, they see the need to save, because oftentimes, empirically speaking, when crises hit, you know, a lot of people wish they had saved a lot more.
Yes.
So you have that going for, you have that push factor. But then you also have, on the other side of the equation, you know, the fear of losing your job, you know, the need to, if you know, someone has lost a job in the household, the need to preserve cash or to spend cash that they have, so they then don't have that ability to save. So you have that inherent tension that's happening in the country right now. I want to save because I now know the consequences of not saving enough. But right now, you know, I can't save that much.
And that comes back to your earlier strategy. You were very clear on the onset that you were going to go mass market, perhaps M40, perhaps even touch a bit of the B40, get a few people to invest one ringgit a day. But as you rightly pointed out, there's so much concern and insecurity about their income levels and jobs. Would you then re-pivot your strategy and perhaps move up a bit, you know, to the T20 segment, the more sophisticated level segment?
No, I think, you know, what we're doing is still absolutely the right strategy. You know, one of the key issues that we identified early on was that we need to make sure that this is affordable. So for as long as you can afford a te tarik, you can afford to save, hence the one ringgit. So what we want to do is, so whatever it is, you know, you can still save, however small it is. And as times get better, you can save more. And we're absolutely committed to doing that to serve the community that we are targeting.
Yeah, and that's reflected in your commission structure, which is a percentage base, right? An X percentage over your total investment value. And that works very well if you have small volumes. It makes a lot of sense. But when you start trying to encourage larger transactions, trading activity, then it becomes a bit not as competitive as other alternatives. How do you kind of build that case that you're still the place to go to reinvest and deepen the investment further?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. You know, a lot of traditional financial services providers have tier structures, right?
Yeah.
And certainly we've built that into our platform. We just haven't launched it because we really are not targeting the mass affluent high net worth market. But we have that ability at some point to do so if we so wish. What we see more likely to happen is that we will integrate with a partner that is targeting the mass affluent high net worth, and will enable them to switch on that tier structure for them, whereas we won't necessarily target that segment directly ourselves. And there's a good reason for that. You know, our whole gearing is towards the mass market. Our whole brand strategy of communications towards that. And there are other players out there, you know, banks as a good example, that would be more suited to targeting the mass affluent high net worth. So if and when that partnership appears, then through them, we will be able to serve that community.
What are the guiding principles in selecting partners for you to target these higher value added segments, right? Would they be the banks? Would they be, you know, the trading apps that you have now, like Stashaway and, you know, Rakuten, in fact? So what's your strategy in picking and moving up the value chain then for you?
I think there's a natural sequence for us in doing this. You know, we're very much focused on the mass market and catering to the M40s and to a certain degree the B40s as well. Mm. I think for the T20, you know, we certainly work with partners as they approach us, but I don't think we will aggressively go after that upper end of the segment until we are comfortable that we have served the community that we have identified to the level that we want.
And if we talk about your products, right, you have kind of two, three core products. One is the Hello Basic with an upgraded to Hello Go Pro. You even have a Smart Saver program. Give us a sense of the reception and interest level by the consumers. I mean, how many of your percentage of your customers are basic and how many have moved up to pro?
Well, I think most of our customers end up being pro because that gives you the full functionality of the app. That's kind of like a given. If you're using the app, then you inevitably will upgrade to a pro because it's free anyway. It just requires a greater level of KYC. In terms of the Smart Saver, that's a really big growing segment for us. It takes away the hassle of timing into the market because we dollar average on a daily basis across the month. And not only that, you know, we ensure that for each day, we buy gold for the customer at the lowest price of that day, which means that you don't have to time the market on a day-to-day basis or at all.
And how much exposure are you involved in due to that commitment of dollar cost averaging?
Well, actually, from our risk management perspective, it's actually very, very limited. It's on a day-to-day basis. So it's well within the parameters by which we manage our inventory.
I want to just conclude, you know, by asking you a point about, you know, when I was downloading your app, I was looking at the customer feedback. There was one feedback that caught my eye. Buying is easy, redemption is not. You need at least 6.5 grams to redeem 5 grams, and that currently you're out of stock. And actually, your admin did respond to say that you're trying to cover some of these issues due to COVID flight restrictions. So as we see further lockdown, is it going to be difficult for your customers to redeem and trade gold on your platform then?
So that was a situation that happened, if I'm not mistaken, around April, May time last year. And this was just a specific problem to Hello Gold. This was a global problem. Mm. And if I talk about, to the extent that global problem happens, it will affect us again, as well as everyone else. So if you actually go back to that period in time last year, and you go to any player in the marketplace around the world, they all had the same issue. And it's primarily because when lockdown hit, physical unrefined gold, doré, couldn't get to the refineries. The refineries were locked down, and the refineries couldn't move their gold to the right place. So basically, a dislocation between the physical gold, between where they were and where they should be, which was kind of unprecedented, at least in my memory. Can it happen again? Well, it's happened once, so I guess it's always possible. But it wasn't a Hello Gold problem. It was a much, much bigger problem. It affected the London and New York bullion markets. That was how bad it was.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, we have with us Robin Lee, CEO of Hello Gold. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. Today on The Breakfast Grill, we have with us Robin Lee, CEO of Hello Gold, a gold investment app. You know, many equate Hello Gold to be the Robin Hood and Stash Away for gold investment. But do you think you were too early in the game? Or maybe this is a long-term game, and so then are your investors patient?
Yes. I think when we first started building the app in 2016, we launched in April 2017. So we've been in the market for about 4 years now. If you go back to the first 2 years of our operational life, the mobile wallets, which was integral to our strategy, weren't really ready, nor were they really being adopted. So in one sense, at a very kind of simple level, for sure, we were two years early, but you can't time the market. If I knew exactly what the future was going to hold, I'd be a much richer man. So in that sense, absolutely, we were too early for the ecosystem. But now the ecosystem's here, and I come back to the partnership pipeline that I alluded to earlier. What we find is that we see a pretty healthy partnership pipeline, because most of the partners that we talk to see gold as being a key part of their financial services play. And that gives us hope. And hopefully, you know, as we move out of this pandemic, you know, our conversion rate from the partnership perspective will get better and will also accelerate faster.
I mean, if I signed up to Hello Gold in 2019, I would be, you know, jumping for joy, because 2020 was a great year for gold. You hit past 20%. What a nice combination, 20% at 2020. But do you expect gold to perform past 6%, the EPF rate for this year?
I think in the long run, and we've done tests on this a number of times, gold typically returns around a rate of 7 to 8%. I actually did some math at the beginning of the year, and I updated it about 2-3 weeks ago. If you look at gold in a 5, 10, 15, 25-year horizon and compare it against FD, it outperforms FD. Then if you look at, against the KLCI, and if you were able to invest in the KLCI index, it outperforms the KLCI index as well. So absolutely, I believe that gold in the long run will continue to do well, around the 7-8%, because that's what it's done historically. The obviously on a year-to-year basis, you know, it can go up, it can go down, but in the long run, I don't expect any difference.
Long run, yes. And I think one of the things about Hello Gold is that you had exponential growth in 2020, I mean, from over 70,000 to 200,000. You must have quite a lot of irate customers, because 2021 doesn't seem to be such a great year so far. How do you kind of communicate to them to say, hey, this is a long run? And, you know, early on, as we had a conversation, that the M40 group is impatient and nervous. How do you tell them this is a long-run game?
Well, first of all, we are very keen to explain to our customers that this is not a trading app. This is not a trading platform. It is an investment platform. So in my mind, trading is anything that's less than 12 months, and investment is, you know, 2 to 5 years. And that's fundamentally important. We didn't set out our goal for trading. It's for investment. So that's one aspect, and we always reinforce that in all our communication. And that's fundamentally important, because if you think about insurance, people use insurance for everything. You know, they have life insurance, medical, car, housing. But within their financial portfolio, the thing that enables them to have a good financial future, they don't actually have portfolio insurance because it doesn't really exist. And their only way is that if I think market's going to be choppy, I de-risk. I sit on the sideline. But if you sit on the sideline, if you get it wrong, then you miss out. Gold is the simplest de facto portfolio insurance you can have. So you should look at it as an insurance policy against bad things. And if bad things don't happen in the marketplace, your portfolio is going to be good. Right? If bad things happen, then your portfolio insurance kicks in.
And is that why you have been pretty single-minded that the asset of focus is gold? Because if you start adding other asset types, you fall into the risk of treating gold as something that's tradable.
Well, we started with gold because we think that that is something that is absent in most portfolios. And I think that's detrimental to a good balanced portfolio strategy, or at least a coherent one. And so for us, you know, whilst, you know, folks like Stashaway, et cetera, you know, offer all these products, which is great, you know, because it gives people choice, we believe that they can insert a bit of gold into their portfolio to ensure that they have the right kind of diversification, the right kind of de facto insurance or hedge against bad things.
So how do you make the case that you're the better platform to invest in gold versus perhaps gold ETFs? Because we have seen a rapid democratization of equity markets, right? Over the past 2 years, you can see trading much easier to be done now on gold ETFs. So what's the case for Hello Gold versus gold ETFs?
I think it depends on how fortunate you are in life, right? There are only 2 million, I think, accounts in the KLSE, in Bursa Malaysia.
So they're growing.
30, Yes, but it's still 2 million. That's less than 10% of the population, right? So the question is, at what point will this become a core part of the financial landscape? In the U.S., only 50% of households have a stockbroking account, and that's the U.S. So we're here to serve the underserved community. So for us, we see our product as key for their success, their financial success. And the ETFs serve a great purpose for folks who are fortunate enough to have, you know, a brokerage account. But if it's only 2 million, what do the other 18 million of working adults in Malaysia use?
Do you think your competitor then is going to be the likes of Grab and Touch and Go with their apps when they start, you know, and they are already beginning to do investment kind of solutions and take the cue from China? Do you think that is your competitor in the future then?
No, absolutely not. I think they're going to be the guys who make us great over time. Because if you look at the super app strategy, they collaborate, they partner up. They very rarely manufacture their own products. So, you know, we're hoping, you know, we've actually completed two integrations, two major wallets. We just, it hasn't been launched yet. Hopefully it'll be launching in the next quarter. And then you'll see us in these super apps. Mm. And that will then see a further kicking in our growth.
Last question. I'm sure you expected this. You know, gold is one of the oldest currencies in the world, but we're talking about the newest currency being crypto. People have associated crypto to be the new gold. Please share your case why it is not.
Well, I think that there are many, many points where they are apart at this point in time. First of all, my view is that high returns come with high risk. Low risk come with low returns. And, you know, there may be moments where high returns come with low risk, but they're temporary. So a gold by its very nature is a low risk, low return asset. So can crypto get to that place? Yes, when it becomes low return, right? But for as long as it's doing 20, 30% a day and then dropping 10, 20% a day, is not that. Once it shows that kind of attribute, then yes, maybe it can be called the new gold. But I think that's when it becomes that, then it becomes boring as gold, right? So that's one aspect. The second aspect is that, you know, there is adoption, right? If you think about the world, everyone around the world gets gold. It's pervasive culturally across the world, from Asia through to South America. Central banks own gold, right? Sovereign wealth funds own gold. So for me, a key indicator is when central banks and governments start to own gold, cryptocurrency, then yes, I can see that happening. So it's not that it's impossible, but there will be good leading indicators as to when that will happen. But I don't see that happening for the foreseeable future.
On that note, today we speak to Robin Lee, the CEO of Hello Gold. I'm Philip C. This is The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.